Ingram Smith, Bud Elliott, back again for another episode of the Nolcast. Bud, come to you here in the very much dead of summer episode of the Nolcast, but we do have some pertinent topics to touch on, and also you've been bouncing around the U.S., particularly the West Coast recently, with a lot of recruiting information that you'll be able to bring to people tonight. So it may not be one of our longest episodes, but happy to be able to get back together, put one of these together, and look forward to seeing what this Nolcast ultimately turns into.
Absolutely, man. Good to be back with you, dude. I'm glad we took the last half of last week off and are back. Thanks, as always, to Louisiana Hot Sauce, our title sponsor for the show. They make it all possible. Delicious Louisiana Hot Sauce, three simple ingredients, one great product. Pick it up at your Publix or local supermarket. And I want you all to bone up on your research, because at some point this summer, when we start running out of content, we might end up doing Louisiana Hot Sauce trivia, and you can see how many different flavors they have. So maybe tease that for a future episode, dude. All right. So probably the number one thing on the minds of Nole fans right now is the final season announced for Mike Martin. I was actually told this on Friday when I was up in Tallahassee that he's going to get one more year. There's enough people in power who thought it'd be a good idea to have that happen. And the job is not going to just be automatically handed to Junior. They're going to conduct an actual national search. The release says when the season is over, but I suspect that they will probably, because you know that this is going to be in his final season, and that's what he's agreed to, there's no real, you're not going to offend the guy, I think, by, you know, if word gets out, you know, in the latter half of the season next year that, hey, they've been talking to this guy, they've been talking to that guy, that sort of thing. As opposed to if you have a sitting head coach who actually has the option to come back, then that could have been messy. So I think overall, we saw a lot of people online who weren't real happy about this, but saw a lot of people online, man, who were happy about this. And to me, the finality of it and making sure that everybody's on the same page, that this is it, and they can actually move forward after this and stop getting crushed in recruiting, that's important. So, you know, if it was football, we'd probably be really up in arms about one more year. And I know a lot of people are throwing around the word charity, which I think is kind of silly, but it's baseball. And I mean, the guy's a legend. His 40th season, I think people are going to enjoy him going out.
So it certainly brings some finality to the episode, as far as it gives you a defined window of time. You're not just kind of hanging around with kind of the uncertainty that's surrounded the program for the past 2 to 3 years. Anybody that's had the type of career that Martin's had, and I have a hard time being real up in arms about an additional season, but I think it's a good transition part, a transition time for the university, and I think that the point that you made, that this very much frees them up to be able to search if they feel inclined to go outside the program ultimately, and you know, not have to do it in anything other than a non-clandestine manner. And so I think it's a good situation. It brings about an end to a storied chapter of one coach, and it'll be very interesting to see what the Florida State baseball program post Mike Martin ultimately ends up looking like.
Absolutely, man. I do think this is an excellent job. You know, is it a top five job nationally? Probably not, given the amount of money the school has. But it's, you could probably say it's a top 10-ish job, assuming that they're going to put some more money into there. And you got to be happy for Mike Martin. 40 seasons is quite the accomplishment. Has a chance to go for even more records. And there's a whole lot of people, you know, who really still enjoy going to the ballpark and watching him coach. So, congrats to him, and also, look, the program gets to move forward, so that's also good. Did you watch any golf over the weekend?
I watched a little bit, man. Golf isn't ever my biggest thing, but I watched enough to know that two former Seminoles did themselves wildly proud, with one in particular taking home a second consecutive trophy.
Dude, that guy hits the hell out of the ball, and he's not just like a bomber. You know, he seems to, I mean, Brooks Koepka, like, actually has all around game. I mean, and not that we didn't know that, but you know, last year's tournament that he won, the U.S. Open, was very different than this year's tournament. This year required, I think, a greater variety of shots and a little more with the short game, and also perhaps the ability to put the ball on glass, because those greens on day three were kind of silly. But I didn't get to watch as much as I would have liked. I was more listening on satellite radio, and I'd already listened to my podcast for the week, and I was driving up and down I-75 quite a bit, going to different camps in Tallahassee and Bradenton and IMG and all that stuff. But the finish on Sunday was pretty cool, man. So I really enjoyed watching that, and it was really cool to see a Knoll there, and then to have two Knolls tied for first going into Championship Sunday. I mean, that's pretty awesome.
It's just a reminder of kind of the fact that when you're watching the tournament, you see a picture of Florida State's golf team, and it's just a reminder that you're very much kind of living through a little bit of like a halcyon era of Florida State athletics when it comes to, you know, the, and not as though football has been anything that you want to hide, or with the exception of 6 or 8 games last year, but the last 5 to 10 years has just been an unprecedented level of success, and particularly just the quality of athlete. You know, you have guys who win majors for the golf team. Obviously, everybody has the World Series of the college, the softball World Series in the back of their mind. You legitimately have some of the better female soccer players in the world on your soccer team right now. It's just an exceptional period overall for what the athletic program's been doing for the past 10 years or so.
It really is, man. Something we probably should do here real quick. Today, I actually played in a golf tournament as well with the Naples Seminole Club, and we want to give a shout-out to listener Sean Patterson. Sean's a doctor and could not make it today to the tournament, but a couple of his buddies, including Mark, were there, and Mark's wife, and they were like, hey, will you please give Sean a shout-out? He's like, I just bought the shirt 2 weeks ago, and he really wanted to make the event and couldn't. And so, Sean, here's your shout-out, man. Thanks for being a loyal listener.
For sure. How was the event down in Naples today, bud?
It was great, man. It was a 36-hole course, and they sold it. I think 138 golfers or something like that, and a couple more for lunch. They really did a great job with it. And tell you, Willie Taggart can swing the sticks a little bit, man. I wasn't sure, you know, how good he would be. I ran into him on Friday at the FSU camp there in Tallahassee, and I said, hey, I'll see you on Monday. Are you playing, or are you just speaking? He's like, oh, no, I'm playing. I can swing it. And he did. Now, I think his team was pretty good, too. Three members of the club. But they won. They shot a 53 in their scramble. So pretty nice score there. 19 under par. We'll get it done. So Coach Taggart was pretty excited. He said he'd never won a golf tournament like that before. So he was pretty pumped up and gave a good speech to the crowd. You know, talked about making sure the kids were enjoying themselves. And, you know, football needs to be fun, but also there needs to be a level of accountability that they're trying to reestablish within the program, and expecting guys to do the right thing. And you know, he spoke a lot about the academic side of stuff, how, you know, he was excited about the the team GPA going up, and I think really trying to establish that culture of accountability and making sure guys are doing what they're supposed to be doing. So I think he did a really good job. I spoke with people afterwards, and they all were like, man, it's such a difference between the energy he brought today, even though he's soft-spoken and really calm, and the energy that the prior guy brought, not every year, but last year I was actually at this event, and the energy was a little bit different. And some people had picked up on that at the time too. So, just life events kind of change who you are at times, and sometimes it's a good time for a change. And I think they got the right guy in Coach Taggart. So that's a good thing there. We should also thank the place that I ate lunch at on Friday. Pretty awesome. Madison Social, our longtime sponsor with the Ford to Table Restaurant Group. Madison Social, Central Township. And did you see that Township is opening up in Fort Lauderdale very soon?
I have seen various rumblings on social media about that. And that's, I know, something that's quickly approaching. So excited that those guys are expanding their operations, and looking forward to be able to talk about a few more southern locations.
That'd be pretty cool, man. Let's get those guys throughout the state and just dominate the state there. All right. By the way, I had the wings, and they were really good, and the coleslaw was actually pretty good, and I was able to watch both the golf and the World Cup. So you watch any World Cup?
Oh, almost every minute of every game so far. Yeah. Yeah, I'm a soccer fiend, and this is a nice time of existence for me right now. I'll put it that way. So
nice, man. I watched a little bit of France and Australia as I was eating breakfast on, I guess it was Saturday morning. Not entirely sure. These days are kind of running together now. I've worked quite a few in a row. That was solid. And other than that, I think I watched Portugal and Spain. Does that sound right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was one of the better games of the tournament so far. So
no idea who won it, but people at Mattis Social were very excited. And across the street, Township was packed for the World Cup. So good to see our sponsors doing well. Everybody gives us great feedback on those guys. So that's pretty awesome. And I guess now, if you want to, man, we could talk about the reason I was in Tallahassee.
I was going to say, let's transition from a dominant sponsor that we're able to work with to one gentleman. And I don't ever want to make too much out of these camp performances, Bud, because you just don't know, like, necessarily how good the, you know, in these little 8-second clips that you see on social media or something, how good the kid was that he was partnered with when he was doing a Oklahoma drill or something like that. But certainly appeared as though Charles Cross had himself quite a camp session recently.
Yeah, look, I think if you saw Charles Cross on film, you were pretty impressed by a lot of the stuff he does. Charles Cross, for those of y'all who don't know, is from Laurel, Mississippi. He's 6'5", like 270, 275-ish. No bad weight on him at all. Really well put together. Has the frame to eventually, I think, play north of 300 pounds. Ingram, he moved around very well, but he's a fluid athlete. And, you know, watching him, now I actually had to leave before they did the pass protection stuff. I was there for the board drills and some of the run blocking stuff and some of the technique stuff. But I stuck around on Saturday morning so that I could see Charles Cross and so I could see a couple other kids who I was expecting in. But I had to leave to go down to IMG to see the afternoon session. That's about a 4-hour drive if you've ever done Tallahassee to out of Bradenton. So, but I was able to watch the clips and speak with some sources there. And the general gist I got with offensive tackle Charles Cross from Mississippi was he's definitely what we're looking for in an offensive tackle. And the things that they prioritize in offensive tackle, which are athleticism and length. Athleticism and length he has. Now, what does he not have yet? Technique needs work, no doubt. They're not expecting him to come in and start day one. I don't think. He's a kid who, you know, may be a redshirt candidate, potentially if he were to commit. He also needs additional strength. I think if you get that kid stronger in the lower body and get him playing with better technique, which will allow him to more efficiently use his strength, he could be a really nice player for you. That's a kid who, you know, I'm not afraid to come on the show and say, I'm not trying to brag here. I'm just saying, you guys know I shoot you straight, right? If I'm not super impressed with the kid, I tell you, it just doesn't do it for me. I think Charles Cross could be a really nice player for you. And I do think he's an underrated player. I think his rating right now is 3 stars. To me, he's more of a 4-star type of player. And I think eventually his rating will probably reflect that. I know he spoke with Josh Newberg, and I guess said FSU was his leader or one of the top schools or something like that. I didn't get a chance to read what Josh wrote up. You can find it on his Twitter. That's a good sign for FSU, man, and they need tackles. So it was very good that at this camp session they got the kids in. They wanted to see, like, to evaluate them, right? And so Cross came away with an offer. And he also has been invited to their July 28th invite-only event, Saturday Night Live.
So, Bud, anytime you mention a Mississippi kid right now, I'm going to think of our most obvious recent of recruiting success there with Cam Akers. And then, obviously, you've got a pretty strong tie-in in one of your staff members with Mario Edwards hailing from Pascagoula. Any type of relationship that was kindled, or do you know if he was able to spend any time around Akers?
I don't know if he's able to spend time with Akers. I did see Mario Edwards around him quite a bit, though. I know there's photos that his offensive line coach, I think was his O-line coach, tweeted out with himself and Cross and Edwards. So certainly Edwards is making an impression there, and that's good. And I've heard nothing but good things about Mario, by the way. And that not necessarily that I didn't before, but I'm hearing more good things about, you know, his role with the program now than I did before. And this is a good reminder that we've spoken about some players who may have been woken up, right, with a new regime change. Why is some guy now all of a sudden maybe going to do something well when before he was kind of written off by the old staff? Maybe there's coaches or office staff or personnel people who are also like that. And I think Edwards is one that I've certainly been hearing about more with his role with the program. So that's a good thing. And put Charles Cross on your recruiting board, I think, fairly high. In fact, I think if he wanted to commit now, I think they would probably take his commitment. And this is a staff that has certainly been fairly cautious for the most part about taking commitments and just making sure they got the right ones. Charles Cross, I believe, checked the boxes that needed to be checked.
Bud, will stay along the offensive line of scrimmage right now. Mentioned two other kids that stood out. Kamar Bell, I know, was one, and then a 2020 kid, Josh Fryer, being somebody else that seemed to have caught the coach's eye during the most recent camp session.
Yeah, so Kamar Bell comes in. He's from Colquitt County, listed at 320. I think he might be a little bit lighter than that. Ingram, he was good. I don't know that he was dominant in the way that I expected him to be dominant. When I see a kid of that bulk, I expect him to be an earth mover, right? A road grader. I want him to come off the boards and smoke people and use that size and that mass to really dominate. And he wasn't bad at that, but he didn't have that oomph that I was really looking for from a guy that size. And Florida State this year is being really picky at the guard position because of the fact that they already have a lot of guards on their roster who they like, because of the fact that they have Dante Lucas already in the fold, and because they're in a good position, they think, with Will Putnam, who's, you know, a very nice prospect as well. They're not looking to take more than two guards in this cycle. Bell apparently had a really nice day with the pass protection drills, which is good. Certainly a big part, but you know, Florida State is going to be primarily a running offense. And if you come in with that much size, I'm not dissing the kids, certainly. I just thought I would see a little more physicality and domination at the point of attack from Kamar Bell than I did. I know he's got a lot of really impressive offers. I don't think Florida State is one of those right now. I don't believe. I'm going to pull up to see if he did get offered recently. No, it doesn't look like it. So he lists, and the keyword here I think is probably lists, Alabama, Auburn, Florida, West Virginia. You know, I don't know how many of those are necessarily committable offers at the moment. You know, maybe Auburn, but I don't know that that kid, if he called up Alabama right now, if they'd say, yeah, come on, right? So just something to keep in mind there. Another kid they had in, out of Cumming, Georgia, North Forsyth. You got an idea where that is?
Yeah, pretty close to my current location, yeah.
So Jeremy James, who is an offensive tackle prospect, came in. Now, he was doing a three-school tour, Florida State first, then Florida, then Miami, over the course of the weekend. He already has offers from a couple of SEC schools, Ole Miss, certainly one who already sticks out. Also, I think NC State, and I believe Miami has offered. Now, Greg Fry, the offensive line coach, got out there, and he worked him out early. He came out because the kid came in early, and he was able to work him out early. I didn't get to see all of the workout. I rolled up before camp started, but not super early out there because you're not normally expecting kids to be working out that early. But you know, he looked fine from what I saw. I wonder if he has the quickness that they're looking for in an offensive tackle prospect. FSU did not offer, at least as of Saturday. Now, it may be a case where they come the dead period here and they sit down and they take a look at their board and they say, all right, where are we? with our offensive tackle recruiting? Do we need to extend another offer? Do we need to extend two more offers? Maybe we like where we are and we don't need to send out any more. All possible. You know, James is like 6'5", 320. This staff definitely values length and athleticism at tackle. I feel like I've said that before on the show already, but it's true, and they really do care about that. With him, I'd like to see him more in that kind of 300 range than the 320 range, just to see how he moves. And I imagine he'll be a kid that they will continue to evaluate throughout the season.
But of the defensive linemen that you saw, I mean, one name that Florida State fans are certainly going to be familiar with if they're followed recruiting for any period of time, or the True Thompson kid is somebody that will probably, of these names, will be the one that rings the most familiar. But what exactly was your opinion of what you saw from Thompson?
Well, I got to tell you, man, my opinion has improved about True Thompson. You know, one of our things, we're always very honest with our listeners, and I told him last year, you know, I'm still waiting for True Thompson to grow, right? He's still short, like 5'11"-ish, maybe 6 foot, you know, depending. And last year, to me, he looked kind of heavy at times and didn't necessarily have the same level of explosiveness that he showed as a younger kid. And I was thinking, okay, well, if he grows and he ends up being taller, he'll have more length and that won't necessarily matter. But he has not grown height-wise. But he has grown other areas of his game in a good way. Number one, he showed up in better shape. Noticeably, he's definitely lost weight. I spoke with his dad. He's going to continue to work on being even leaner. You know, he needs to have a plan if he doesn't get taller and longer. And I think the plan is going to be, let's get back to that explosiveness off the ball. Let's win with technique. Let's win with beating people with quickness. And in the pass rush drills, I thought he did a really nice job of that. And kind of changed my mind, to be honest, on whether he could be an FSU caliber kid. I think I've kind of flipped on this. Before, I was leaning towards no, based on the fact that he didn't seem to be growing and looked kind of the same, except for he was just, you know, heavier freshman to sophomore year. But now he does seem to have a lot more quickness, and that's encouraging. That's a positive step, and they certainly still like him. Odell Higgins likes him, gave him a lot of positive encouragement, but also hard coaching. He really got on him, like you always see Odell do with the prospects who he really likes. Odell's a guy who, if he really likes you, he's going to ride you a lot. And he did that with Thompson on some of the stuff, I think, trying to push the kid's buttons and try to make him a better player, right? And see how coachable he can be. I mean, it's like the fourth year down there, obviously, for True Thompson. But I was more impressed, especially with the pass rushing stuff, because we already knew that he could be, I think, an effective run stopper because of just how low he plays. He is a shorter prospect, and he does play so low. But could he, without the length, could he lock out opposing blockers? Maybe not, but can he beat him with quickness? It looks like, yeah. So that was encouraging.
Quentin Jones, another prospect that stood out.
Kid I never heard of. Quentin Jones from Godby High School. I spoke with him. He said he's part Samoan. I asked him how much. He said, well, my grandma was Samoan.
I love that. I love it, yeah. Somewhere on my mom's side. In the clips that I saw, he looked like he might have some Samoan genetics flowing through that body.
This was a kid who I was very impressed with in the run-stopping and board drills portion of the camp. Just a 6'2", 350-pound squatty kid, and you know, short arms, which obviously hurt him a lot when it came to the pass rush time, but extremely powerful player. A player who, for Godby so far, it looks like he's just played guard. This year, he's going to play more defense. And I got to tell you, man, I was very impressed with what I saw. Now, I had to leave, and so I didn't get to see him do the pass rush stuff. I heard he was not as good at the pass rush, which is not surprising to me, because when you see a player who's not incredibly explosive and doesn't have long arms, well, how are you going to pass rush, right? You kind of need one or the other there. But as a nose guard type player, I think it can be very effective. I think Quentin's a kid who FSU is going to continue to evaluate. I doubt they're going to offer him, you know, soon. They probably want to see more. he also needs to continue to keep getting in better shape. I asked him, I said, you know, it looks like you're, you know, maybe a little quicker now than you pull up some highlights. And he said, yeah, I've lost 6 pounds. I'd like to lose like 30 or 40 more, which I wanted to say, oh, same. Yeah, that's also my goal, right? And everybody's.
I got that first pesky six off. And now I'm looking to drop maybe another 30 or 40.
Yeah. But I was happy for him. He had a nice camp. And my guess is that he's going to be able to go play Power Five ball, assuming he has grades. I don't know if it'll be at Florida State, but that's a kid that they're going to monitor. Kid in your backyard, you need to keep an eye on in case he unlocks another level of athleticism. Maybe he continues to lose more weight throughout the summer. Maybe he comes into his own more as he's playing defense. And this is really what some of these kind of one of the main focuses of the camp was, really an evaluation type camp. There were certain players who they wanted to see if the kids deserved offers. And certain kids got offers, and certain kids so far did not get offers. This is just the big man camp. I didn't get to go to the first session with the skill kids, obviously. There was another linebacker there, actually. Oh, Trayvon Thomas, Miami Edison. So the story with Trayvon is basically as follows. He transferred to Miami Edison this spring from Chicago. His high school coach said he absolutely loves him. Very coachable kid. Yes sir, no sir kid. Willing to do whatever you ask him to do, whether that's a defensive end or linebacker. Now, Harlan Barnett and Mark Snyder were apparently already familiar with him from their time at Michigan State. Michigan State heavily recruits the Chicago area, so they knew who he was, and they both put him through the workouts. And then also Coach Woody at linebackers did as well. Florida State this year is being pretty picky about defensive end. With linebacker, they're a lot more wide open, although things may be trending in some positive ways for them with some of these kids there. He did not get an offer at this point, but I definitely think that Trayvon Thomas is a kid who I'll be adding to the Tomahawk Nation linebacker board when I go revise that as a potential offer, and a kid they will look to continue to evaluate this fall. So good name to know for all you recruit Knicks, and we know a lot of y'all are diehard recruit Knicks. It was a different feel of a camp. It didn't really feel like there was that much recruiting going on at this camp. It was a lot more evaluation and determination. Now, I do believe the July 28th camp will involve a lot more recruiting. They're going to try and get a lot of studs on campus all in the same event. I think they're going to try and get those kids in a room and say, hey, all y'all here are here for a purpose. All of y'all have earned the offer to come to Saturday Night Lights. And if you want to commit right now, we'd be willing to take the vast majority of y'all, right? So that's kind of the difference. And the reason why it's going to be July 28th is because the dead period is in July this year. So we have a three-week dead period where there's no recruiting going on. You can't call kids. You cannot have them on campus for visits. You can't visit them off campus. They can't be going to camps or official visits at your school. So that's why there's a late July camp this year going on. Some underclassmen names. You want me to hit you with some of these just real quick before we move on? Josh Fryer. He's an offensive tackle prospect to watch. He's a 2020 out of Beach, Indiana, I think it was. Spoke with his mom. He's somehow related to I wrote this down. But he is somehow related to one of the former linemen at Indiana who has a good relationship with Coach Greg Fry. Greg coached Indiana. So it seems like there's some good bloodlines here. I thought Josh was extremely athletic and aggressive, has good length, maybe not great length. He told me he was 6'5", 285. And in my notebook, I wrote down 6'4", 270, because that's what he looked like to me. But he did say 6'5", 285. Well, I guess we'll kind of see about that. I trust my measurements, Ingram. But look, all the time in the world to add good weight, there's no doubt, and has the aggressiveness. He and True got in a little scrap, which I thought was great. You know, you want those guys competing out there and going hard. Another kid, Ajelu Nunu. He's at Union County High School, which is like in Lake Butler area, Florida. A defensive tackle slash offensive guard to watch. was really, really good. Already college ready size, but nice balance too. So body control that you don't often see in younger players of that size. And then another kid here I'm really excited about, Emeka Egbuka. Emeka Egbuka, class of 2021 receiver out of the Seattle area, former teammate of Treshawn Harrison. And I got to tell you, man, they're excited about this kid. 2021 kid from Seattle coming down. That's pretty awesome. He's really special, apparently. I've not seen him in person, but they had him on campus on Monday.
Hard to project class of 2021 at this point, but somebody whose opinion I value said that they'd be shocked if he won. At least at this point, he projects to be like a top three, top four kid at his position. A very elite prospect.
Also, the coach there, Treshawn's former coach, they are very, very high on. I know for a fact the FSU staff really thinks the world of him. So that'll be one to watch. Another kid I know they're going to keep evaluating, by the way, they got down, was a kid named Anthony Booker. I think he's a four-star out of the Cincinnati area. Harlan Barnett is from the Cincinnati area, so he was very excited to see that prospect there, watching him. A lot of these videos, by the way, we put on Tomahawk Nation on the Twitter page, so go follow at Tomahawk Nation. That was good to see. Man, we got a lot of information for the folks out of this camp. A lot of people are asking us, where are the star-studded names here? And I think the answer to that is there weren't a whole lot of them there. Now, on the one hand, that can be concerning because you want to get kids on campus for sure. But they already came through for the most part in spring, and you're already inviting them back for the July camp. Now, if you could get them in June, that's great. But Tallahassee is a very hard place to visit. It's just geographically very isolated. It's not really on the way to anything or on the way to anything. They did a good job of evaluating the kids. There were certain kids I feel like they needed to get in and they needed to see, right? And they, for the most part, those kids they got in, they were able to see and say, okay, this kid can play for us. This kid, maybe we'll wait and see to make that determination. As of now, he doesn't necessarily need an offer. One kid who wasn't there, though, was Mike Morris. Mike Morris is committed to them at defensive end. He committed to the old staff. He did not commit to the new staff. In all of his interviews, he talks about how he's a defensive end. I've made it very clear, based on what I have seen, and of course I reserve the right to change my opinion because high school kids do grow and improve and whatnot. Based on what I've seen, I don't think he's a Florida State caliber defensive end. Now, he's a legacy kid. His dad played offensive line for FSU back in the, I think, the 90s. Yeah. But I don't believe that Mike is an FSU caliber defensive end. I think he will eventually grow into an offensive tackle. He has the frame and the length to play offensive tackle. He does not showcase the explosiveness to play defensive end so far. Now, maybe all of a sudden that comes. It's not like they're cutting bait on the kid, but I do believe that they would have liked to see him up there, you know, and evaluate him more. But yet, he's been invited to the July 28th event, so maybe they'll be able to see him in person there. They are recruiting aggressively at the defensive end spot, and it doesn't seem like they're not making the air, Ingram, if you get what I'm saying here, of counting on him in the class.
And I'm not sure internally if he would be on their board at defensive end. I think he would probably be more looked at on the other side of the line of scrimmage.
I agree. Offensive tackle, or if you're going to sell, and also not tight end either. I don't believe he's a potential tight end. I think he's an offensive tackle. If you wanted to have him on defense, I think the only spot he could maybe play is defensive tackle. But I think you could easily have that kid be 300 pounds within 18 months of being on a college campus. So just kind of my thoughts on that. A couple notes on current players. And I hope some of these guys are not these guys. Some of these listeners are probably not real keen on, just so much recruiting talk, but this time of year, that's largely what we have. And we did talk the golf news and the baseball news to open up the show, but, Marvin Wilson, one worry when you have a kid who's naturally about 3 1/4 ish, you know, when he has a knee injury, you're like, man, I hope he doesn't put on that bad weight, right? Because he worked real hard to get it off. I was pleasantly surprised that he has not added a bunch of bad weight. Now, I know he's got some weight to cut before the season starts, but if y'all were worried out there that Marvin Wilson was going to balloon and be, you know, 360 or something, I don't think you have to worry about that. He looked about like he did roughly, you know, I mean, probably a little heavier, obviously, but about like he did when they were real happy with him before the spring when he was doing the chase in those workouts. I thought Landon Dickerson looked like a beast. And then Juwan Williams was running around. That's your potential left tackle, by the way. He was running around without a shoulder brace. So that's encouraging to not still be in a brace after the little shoulder injury that he suffered. So all good signs there with the linemen. Janarius Robinson looked pretty good as far as doing the drills. I think we've talked about for a while, man. He might just be a late bloomer, you know?
No reason to give up on that kid, you know, a guy that from day one is a one of the people that you'd want getting off the bus first. He just looks like a absolute Sunday type player, and if he's able to grow into his frame. But even when Florida State was recruiting him, I don't think that was necessarily a kid that you thought you were going to see production out of immediately. He was raw. He was, I mean, everybody in the world wanted him, but he was raw, and I think that was kind of a known deal that was not going to necessarily be an immediate contributor.
I think that's a good point, man. Like, you have to be able to separate how a kid looks physically from how his technique is and how his football instincts and experience are. Like, Janarius Robinson looked like a kid who was cut out of a comic book, but he did not dominate like that, and it was very much a potential play. But he's still out there working hard. He's volunteering at the camp and working, so that was encouraging to see. And then Derek Kelly running around. Man, I hope Derek Kelly can stay healthy for his last year. He's got a good amount of talent, hard worker. I really think he could be a very key piece for this offensive line this year.
Yeah, if you have a dream of even a modicum of respectability along the offensive line, it probably involves Derek Kelly staying healthy and Derek Kelly playing at his highest level possible. So curious to see what that ultimately looks like, but good to hear your opinions just from you know, the little bit that you were able to see of those prospects. But assuming everybody's healthy, everybody's playing to the top of their potential, is Landon Dickerson your best offensive lineman, or at least your most physically gifted offensive lineman?
I think so. Oh, hey, Eberle looks like he's in good shape.
Yeah, I've seen that. I've people have told me that as well.
We've had people emails for, like, you know, is Alec Eberle in a biker gang? Like he looks like he's a 45-year-old who works on the assembly line, and you know, he's real tough and stuff. It doesn't seem like whatever he was doing before is the same thing as what he's doing now. He's definitely thicker, but in a good way, and maybe a more toned as well.
A guy who people would always speak positive of, and I don't think I'm throwing him under the bus by this, but a guy who, interestingly enough, like, you got almost all he could give to you in practice and stuff, but didn't carry over that same drive and determination outside of so it was just strange. He's not a lazy kid or anything like that, but that the focus that you would get from him in practice and maybe some lifting wouldn't necessarily carry over with his choice of diet and things like that. So interesting to see that it appears as though he's gone through a little bit of a physical reshaping as well.
Absolutely. By the way, Ingram, I have a couple notes, including a note on the quarterback battle coming up, but I want to tell people first about the Southwest Florida Seminoles Celebrity Catch and Release Fishing Tournament. That'll be on July 14th at the Tween Waters Inn on beautiful Captiva Island. I mentioned this on the last show. There are still spots available for this. I'll be fishing in this. Last year, I got to fish with you know, bar none, William Floyd. Had an absolutely great time. If you want to get in on this, and whether you have a boat or not, doesn't matter. They can hook you up with the boat. They can hook you up with the guide. You can bring the family down. You can stay at the beautiful resort. And I know my wife, I asked her, said, do you want to fish? She said, nope, I want to lay by the pool and have some drinks. So she is not fishing. I am fishing. And then when we get done fishing, we'll probably have a few more drinks, and it's a really cool setup there at the resort. A great family weekend, and it's going to be an awesome tournament. The captain's dinner and a crew kickoff celebration will be on July 13th, so still time to get in for this. You can get a room down there. You can still get into the tournament. How do you get in? You ask. Well, that's a great question. You would call Bob Shearman. Bob Shearman at 239-344-1346. That's 239-344-1346. Or email robert.shearman, that's S-H-E-A-R-M-A-N, at henlaw.com, H-E-N-L-A-W.com. You know, when I spoke to them about this, I said, I think the real untapped market y'all have is potentially people coming over from the East Coast, so Lauderdale or Miami. It's only like a two-hour ride over, just straight shot across the alley, or coming down from, you know, like the Tampa area. If you're in Tampa or St. Pete or Clearwater or Lauderdale or Palm Beach or Miami, that's a good day. Y'all should come over and do it. Should be great. It's been a great event every year, and I think it's a real unique event as well. They're the only Seminole club that has a fishing tournament. So hope to see y'all there. And I guess it's time to talk about quarterbacks. Ingram, do you remember a couple weeks ago when somebody asked us on the show, I said, hey, do you believe the Francois changed behavior is legit? So being up in Tallahassee, I learned a lot of things. One was that I got scooped I got tipped off to the Mike Martin thing on Friday, which was solid, and then ended up sitting on it because I was waiting for a second source, and then some other really sad stuff happened, obviously, there. And we weren't going to do that as far as breaking that. But I was talking to another source, and I said, hey, do you buy Francois just turning his act around? Like, is he really staying out of trouble in terms of their accountability groups and not accumulating penalty points, and you accumulate penalty points for the accountability group by missing class or showing up late to things or not going to rehab or anything like that. I said, or respect to people in the building and those type of things. And they said, look, yeah, I buy it. I mean, he's really kind of been on it since spring. This is somebody I really trust, man. So I think this is an extremely positive sign that we saw Taggart not throw Francois under the bus, but definitely use the media, like several ESPN interviews, to try to get through to his potential quarterback and say, look, I know you got physical skills, but I want to hear about you being a teammate. I want to hear about you being a leader. Well, this is somebody I trust saying, look, I do think that he's been consistent in it. And that's the only really way to build trust back up and make people trust you, make people think you're a good person and a good teammate, is if you consistently act in that way. And so far, it seems like it's consistent. So, knock on wood that it's legit and that it continues throughout the summer, because if it is, then I think you're going to have a really fun, open quarterback competition with two very capable guys competing for this job.
Yeah, that's good to hear. You would hope that a young man like that would see the opportunity in front of him, and consistency is key, and hope he continues to show that over the course of the summer and is able to compete for the job from a health standpoint as well. So glad to hear that he's kind of, taking the message that was being delivered to him and soccer. I try not to bore y'all too much with soccer talk, but I know a lot of times you hear coaches, you just hear about man management, and not everybody responds to the same thing. And it appears as though, Willie was able to communicate with his player in a manner that he ultimately received the message. So maybe talking to him directly wasn't immediately successful. So had to go and maybe deliver it through a third party. So happy to see that the message has landed, and by all accounts, you have two people that are doing everything that are needed to position themselves to be your starting quarterback.
Oh, hey, I have another positive thing to say about this program right now, and this is something that I don't know if everybody will understand what I'm talking about, so I'm going to try and describe it. Okay, so you know where the player dorms are, right? Sort of like west of the stadium. You have to go from the stadium, you have to cut across stadium. Forever, I would see the players running across stadium, right? And it's coming down a hill, so it's not necessarily all that easy to see them if you're driving there. I really don't know how somebody has not been hit.
Yeah, it's kind of a miracle we haven't, lost a running back at some point or something like that because of what you're describing.
I am happy to report that I went in and out of the stadium, I think, seven times this weekend. I did not see any player cut across stadium in like a jaywalking slash sprinting way. So I don't know if they're going up and using the tunnel or, you know, walking the extra like quarter mile, but maybe Willie got through to those guys on that too. I don't even know if he talked to him about it, but it struck me. I was like, huh. Like, I didn't see any players like dodging their life and playing like, you know, human Frogger on stadium. So that was also good. And then I made my way down I-75 to go see the 7-on-7 national championships, which are held at IMG. They're not the IMG national championships. They're real careful to not call it that. Primarily, I think, because if you're a high school coach from out of state, you don't necessarily want your kid going to something called the IMG national championships because you're worried your kid might transfer there. So they don't call it that anymore. You know who looked good, though, man? Sam Howell. Sam Howell threw the ball real well. I was impressed.
Continued to hear nothing but good things about Howell. We've talked about him ad nauseum and hopefully tried to dedicate as much time in the last podcast that we did to delineate concerns for the broader class at that position versus the particular prospect that's committed to Florida State. But Howell, at every opportunity throughout the summer, has done nothing but give a confidence to Florida State fans and ultimately done nothing but prove himself in as much a capability as he can during summer. Ultimately, you know, nobody's going to be blown away by what you do with in shorts and t-shirts, but at every possible place, whether it be Elite 11 or something like this, he's had a really productive summer.
Absolutely, man. A lot of this stuff is the underwear Olympics, as people call it, but he's backed up his high school film, I think, with a solid performance in the camp season. Right now, he's rated as one of the top five quarterbacks in the country. I feel like that's an accurate rating for him. I think a 4-star is appropriate, given that he's not a physical freak, but he does seem to get rid of the ball fairly quickly, and it usually goes where he wants it to go. He's a kid with a lot of confidence. I'll share an anecdote here from the weekend. I was very impressed. So he was playing on the Cam Newton Blue team, which I think because he kind of joined that organization later, they had already had Bo Nix, the Auburn commit, and the son of Patrick Nix, who was a quarterback who played for Jimbo and then later was an offensive coordinator for the Miami Hurricanes. But the black team, Cam Newton Black, which is their A team, is just totally loaded. I mean, they have, on the one side, Jaden Hazelwood, who's the number one receiver in the nation. On the other side, they have George Pickens, who is a physical freak. Well, Howell really didn't have anybody like that on his team. He had some good younger players, but they're quite obviously younger. And he was just trying to match them score for score. And we were very deep into the game, and I asked the guy filming next to me, I was like, hey, has the Cam Newton Black team scored in one or two plays on every single drive? And he goes, yeah, it's either been one shot or two shots. So it turned out that the defense on the Cam Newton Blue team, like most every team in this tournament, was not equipped to handle that. And so Howell was basically having to be absolutely perfect on every single drive and score every time. And ultimately, they ended up losing, I think, by only 6. But it was a pretty nice effort by him. He had a strong tournament, and I came away impressed. He also got to talk with a certain 6'7", 360-pounder named Evan Neal, who was one of Florida State's top offensive line targets. And, man, funny how things work out, right? You got the kid committed to FSU, and he happens to be playing in a tournament where the host school happens to be the school of your top offensive tackle target.
Evan Neal, just seems like Florida State's had a productive summer with him in general. A kid that maybe 3 or 4 months ago we weren't sure the real involvement or level of involvement. Certainly not saying he's a lock or anything like that, but you know, the position that they find themselves in mid-June is certainly a better place than maybe they were in mid to the end of February this year.
I agree with that. I think they have made up some ground, particularly on Miami. Getting Neal's parents up again come July 28th will be big. Got to make sure you get him on campus. But it is good that your quarterback can sit there and talk to Neal for sure. So that was encouraging. I spoke to George Pickens at length. George Pickens is the big-time receiver at Alabama, a real physical freak. The main message he wanted me to get was that he was really enjoying catching passes from his future quarterback, Bo Nix, right, who they're both committed to Auburn. Not really encouraging news for FSU there. Not everything's going to be. But I asked him, I said, all right, you know, who is trying their best to flip you? And he said, I think Florida State is probably tops on my list there as far as trying to pull the flip off. So they're certainly not giving up on him. They like him a whole lot. We know they also like Jaden Hazelwood. Do you think they have any real shot to get Hazelwood? I know that he's committed to Georgia and you know, kid up your way. But what kind of read do you got on that, if any?
So he's been committed to Georgia for a long time. I happen to have a pretty good contact with that 7-on team who has told me since day one that he thought there would be some point in time that he would waver on that commitment. So he's been curious about that since the beginning of it. I doubt a kid from where he's in Atlanta and how early Georgia's been on him. I doubt he signs anywhere else in Athens, but I wouldn't shock me at all if some point his commitment didn't, or his recruiting process didn't include a couple other schools in it.
I think that makes a lot of sense. His dad did go to Oklahoma, so just something to keep in mind there for sure. By the way, before we talk about a few other kids, we should definitely mention our other sponsor, Resolution Home Loans. Resolution Home Loans has been great to us this spring. Awesome company to work with. We know they've closed out bunch of loans with Nolcast listeners. And by the way, if I told you I was going to send you a shirt for closing a loan with Resolution, I am. I'm just being real honest here. I've been traveling so much. I have them. I'm looking at them right now in my studio. They're in the box, and I will get those sent out to you. We already sent out the ones to the contest winners, but the people who did the loan with Resolution Home Loans, we are definitely going to get you a shirt. I did not forget about you. I haven't done it yet. Apologies. They're a great company to work with. They want to get you closed as fast as possible. They do it because they actually have an actual underwriter working on the loan for you. Not everybody does that. Visit resolutionhomeloans.com. Visit fsuhomeloan.com or call 844-FSU-LOAN. That's 844-FSU-LOAN. You'll get to speak with Shannon. Shannon is Chad's number one loan officer. He's a Noel grad, as is Chad. They will walk you through the process. They want to give you the best possible customer service. Check out their Google reviews. That's 844-FSU-LOAN. Resolution Home Loans, a proud sponsor of the Nolcast. Oh, got to talk a little 2020 kids here, by the way. Two kids to keep an eye on. Leonard Manuel, obviously, I think a lot of people know who that is. He might be the number one player in the nation for 2020. I asked him if he had any visits coming up. He said he absolutely planned to get back to Florida State this summer. So, you know, that's encouraging. Not bad news at all. He decommitted from Miami. His teammate, Trevante Rucker, also plans to get up there. I'm a big Trevante Rucker fan. He's a 2021 kid who makes a heck of a lot of plays for that 3-5-2 Orange Stars 7-on team that he's on. But Manuel is a legitimate 6'4", 205-pound prospect who believes he can stay at receiver. I'm not going to argue with him at this point. I want to see if he's done growing. If he is, then I agree. If he's not, then he might be just the most freakish tight end I've ever seen. Think like Jimmy Graham, legitimately. So, yeah, that's a positive sign for FSU. And another kid I know that they're very high on and have already offered is a kid named Marcus Rosimi, or Rosemi. I'm actually not sure how to pronounce it. I should ask him, but when I talk to him, I always just call him Marcus. You know, super nice kid, pretty quiet. Some of the best hands, Ingram, that I have ever seen. As a receiver at any level. I mean, just Odell Beckham has ruined the receiver position as far as evaluation purposes. All these kids think they can just stab the ball with one hand constantly now. And it's real annoying because I wish he would just catch the ball with two hands because that's more effective, you know, especially if you don't need to use one hand. But Marcus actually does, he can catch it one-handed consistently, like all the time. You shake his hand, he wears double X gloves, he grabs you like up past the watch. Just not a kid who drops balls. Good concentration. One of the highest floor receivers I can remember in a long time, just because of how good the hands are and how good the body control is. Good size, not huge, but a really nice player. He plays for St. Thomas Aquinas and a guy who I know FSU is real high on.
Anybody else that stood out to you, or any other recruiting information you want to end the pod with this week?
Yeah, we got two official visits coming up. Quarterback Michael Johnson Jr., whose dad coaches for Oregon. FSU staff is obviously very familiar with him because they were on the staff with the dad, and they've seen the kid play. I was not real impressed with him at the Elite 11. Now, granted, I think he is an excellent runner, and Elite 11 does not really benefit mobile quarterbacks. It really benefits the guys who are more throwers. So I know they like him. I don't know if they love him as a prospect. Penn State and Miami might be higher on him than FSU is. I guess we'll have to see how they feel after that visit. I know he likes Miami a lot. He also took a visit to NC State, a team that's recruiting pretty well right now, by the way, in FSU's own division. And then also, I believe Nick Cross, the safety out of the D.C. area, is coming in this weekend. Nick Cross is a kid FSU's very high on. He would be a take. We talked before how their takes board is not real big at this point. But Nick Cross is absolutely a kid that FSU would take commit from, I believe, at this point. Big-time hitter. With good range as well from the safety position, and a kid they're extremely high on. He's already officially visited to, I believe, Alabama and I think Florida. FSU feels like they have an excellent shot to land him, so I would expect things to move fairly quickly there. And I guess the last thing is Derek McClendon came off his NC State visit, and I have not seen any updated commitment plans for him, so I'm going to guess that he still does it towards the end of the month, and I haven't had any indications that FSU has had any change of heart. So I think that they will still get Derek McClendon as of this recording at 11 o'clock on the nose, Monday, June 18th.
Cross is obviously a kid we've talked a lot about, kid out of Maryland there. Be interesting to see how that recruitment winds up, but a name that people will be familiar with, and a guy that Florida State's kind of penciled in and put at the top of their board to see if they couldn't secure an earlier commitment out of. So, but great to be able to get back and do one of these. I know we've probably, I don't know if it's by a 1.5 multiple, but we certainly have never been at this point in the year and have done this many podcasts. So, first of all, that's a reflection of the support we receive from our listeners in general and our sponsors. So just want to thank everybody for how supportive they've been through the existence of this podcast. If you get the opportunity to give us a review on iTunes, it certainly means a lot. And any kind of mention or anything like that on social media of the people who sponsor us is greatly appreciated and allows us to be pretty consistent with what we're able to bring you as far as during this this less than heavy part of the schedule when it comes to Florida State football news.
All right, man. I'm excited. Now, hey, we are going to do a Q&A episode before I go out to the opening, which is next weekend. So early next week, I will do, with Ingram, a Q&A episode. Make sure you have good Q&As and good buyer sells for us. We want good thought-provoking stuff. We'll do quick news, and then after that, we'll just rip through these Q&As, and maybe we'll... Hell, who knows? Maybe we'll give you a double episode. No promises on that. I don't want to commit Ingram to something that we've not even discussed. But that's going to be awesome, man.
Fantastic. All right, y'all. Enjoy this as always. Look forward to talking to you sometime next week. And thank you as always for your support of the Nolcast.